third time's a charm. We're going to try one more time if we can get this going. If not, we will be possibly moving over to Zoom, or I will just do a recording if you guys will give me some questions. So we are Facebook. I'm not really sure what's going on with them this morning, but sound's not working as good as usual, and connection is a little on the sluggish side, so we'll see if this is going to work. All right, so I want to talk to you guys while we wait for questions, so make sure you use hashtag ask if you are watching this live. I wanted to talk about the scale, and I want to bring up what Betsy and I were actually talking about, because it was such a good conversation. She said, she said, I noticed a lot of expectations around the scale. So for all of you who are wondering, every single day, I have the coaches and the whole team, everybody, we've got like about, I think there's 14 or 15 of us now on the team. Can you believe that? Like, seriously, for those of you who've been around a long time, there are so many people on the team. And a lot of them y'all don't know, because they do like back-end work, website design, that kind of thing. But we have about 15 of us now. And the people that you guys mostly come into contact with every single day, they come in into a Slack channel that we have, which is a business app where you can do communication. And they tell us like what you guys are thinking about, what your guys are talking about, what you're struggling with, what you're asking for, and all that kind of stuff. And so we have discussions very often, and that helps me figure out, you know, by what I'm reading and by what they're reading and all that kind of stuff, how to best help you. And so Betsy noticed something super awesome about you guys. She said, they're thinking that what they ate yesterday either rewards them or punishes them via the scale the next day. And many of them are weighing daily, seeing the scale go up and down, and when it doesn't say what they want, then they think they've done something wrong. I've been coaching them on practicing some patience and focusing on wins outside the scale. So I want to talk about this for a minute, because this is a big issue that goes on all the time. The very first thing you have to realize with the scale, guys, is that it gives you a number. It does not give you a feeling. It gives you a number. It doesn't give you a statement about who you are, your abilities, if you will lose weight or not, or anything like that. It also, when you get on the scale, it gives you a number. It doesn't dole out a punishment. It doesn't also give you a reward. It doesn't do any of those things. The only thing the scale can do is give you a number. That is it. You give yourself reward. You give yourself punishment. You give yourself a lot of things based upon the number that you get. So it's really important for you to make that first connection with the scale and the number before you can come up with luscious thoughts and feeling better, whether the number goes up or down or whatever thing like that. The very first thing you have to do is break the belief that the scale can do anything to you, that the scale ruins your day, makes your day, does anything. It is literally just a number that appears in your life. It would be like saying, oh my God, someone told me how old I am today, and suddenly I felt broken. Someone told, like, did you know that I'm 45? I didn't realize I was 45. I am such a fuck up. I better go eat something. It is a number. And so you really have to think about that. You have to think about, okay, when I'm getting on the scale, I'm getting a number that's going to trigger me to have a lot of opinions. And I need to remember everything that I feel and everything that I think is an opinion that I'm formulating on this number. This is really good, because what it invites you to be able to do is start understanding how you think about your numbers. And is the way that I'm thinking about it useful in my weight loss journey, or is it not? So, for example, one of the things that I think hoses people a lot of times is you will get on the scale and you won't lose, and you will have done a lot of amazing things. And the second you don't lose, your brain goes to, this isn't working. It would be awesome if your brain would go to, the scale didn't move. Here are the things that I'm doing that are working for the other things in my life. I think it's going to be critical and very important for all of you to stop just making weight loss mean, like I have to weigh 150 pounds. That is not the only thing. I am not telling you that you can't have a goal weight. But one of the key things that made it possible for me to not only lose my weight but keep it off was that as I got started, I thought about not only what I wanted to weigh, but what was that person like? So if I wanted to be someone who fed her child healthy, had decided to start figuring out how to cook for the first time in her life and all that kind of stuff, when I would weigh, I would, before I would decide what I was going to do the next week to get the number to move down, I would make sure that I reinforced the previous week, the things that I was doing that like mean a lot to me. That gave me the ability to have patience when the number wasn't moving by how I wanted it to move. It's okay to be disappointed if it's not moving at the rate that you want it to move at, but it's critical for you to not dismiss all the positives to focus on the one thing that you want. It's like you can be disappointed and want this while also telling yourself what's going right at the same time. We don't have to throw away. Like I was literally coaching someone on this yesterday and she had spent, her scale had not moved in 2 weeks. And she had spent 2 weeks totally on plan for the first time in like 3 months. She had not overate 3 times when she really, not even binged when she really wanted to. She had moved more than she's moved in ages and showed up several times when she didn't want to. She had made sure to journal every day and was eating better than she had ate in a while. Didn't lose jack shit. Not jack shit. And I said, all right, well, tell me, like, because in the past, she would binge over it. I said, well, tell me how you're feeling about the number. And she said, well, to be honest, it makes me think that it's not working. And I said, well, it's not working in terms of, like, you know, the scale going down, of course. I said, but tell me, like, when you lose all your weight, what are the things that you, like, who you want to be? And she said, well, I want to be someone who doesn't emotionally eat anymore, and I want to be someone who's, like, eating healthy, and I want to be someone that's exercising and all this other stuff. And I said, so essentially what's happening is you are that person right now, but because the scale's not moving, you threw all of it out and didn't even give yourself credit for what was going right. We're just going to focus on this one thing that feels terrible. And she said, well, if I don't do that, then like I'm not going to lose weight. And I said, no, I think you'll end up gaining weight if you keep focusing on nothing's going right. I said, but is it within the realm of possibility that you could just keep doing these things that are super good for you for a while and be really proud of yourself and just start living like the person who already weighs 150 and getting to be proud and feel confident and do all this other stuff while we figure out also how to get the scale to move? Or do we need to just like insist things aren't working and feel like shit and then white knuckle and make ourselves do stuff that we just keep arguing that aren't working? I was like, you can do one of two ways. One way feels a lot easier and keeps you focused on where you're wanting to go and doesn't create an environment to want to eat. The other way feels like ass, makes the process miserable, and at some point will drive you to this king ding dong thought of, it's not worth all this. It's not worth all this suffering to try to lose weight. When every ounce of the suffering is optional. You could literally do the same things for 2 more weeks. Because one thing that we know is that if you emotionally eat and you start adding in binge behaviors, you stand no chance of the scale going down. You keep doing plans, you keep exercising, you keep eating healthy, you keep doing all the things you say, like when I'm thin, this is like the version of me and all this stuff. You could just keep living like a thin version of you and just see what happens. And while you're doing that, enjoy the fuck out of being someone who's fundamentally changing at their root is to like how you love yourself. Telling yourself, you know, the reason why I'm doing all this, it's not because I hate myself and I hate my body so much. I actually want to be this person. And I tell myself every single day, these things I'm doing, even when I don't want to, it's because this is who I want to be. I'm willing to actually do this stuff and be who I want to be, even if the scale doesn't cooperate this week or next week or 6 weeks from now, because I don't want to be an emotional eater. I want to be someone who uses movement to feel better. Like, I want to be that person, and the only way to be that person is to start being that person ahead of time. Like, sometimes we don't get our bonus until we've put in some and logged in some hours and some work. So, you know, for all of you, when you think about the number on the scale, it's not rewarding you. It's not punishing you either. That's on you. Scale can't do anything to you. And I don't want any of you to stop weighing, thinking it makes me feel bad. I want you to keep weighing and owning every single time. If I feel bad, that's on me. It's time for me to rewrite this story. I'm going to use this as a way to start loving myself and figuring my shit out, so that when I learn how to not let a number bother me, if you can not let the number on the scale bother you, you probably stand a chance of not letting some douchebag in line at the grocery store bother you either. You start learning the skill of taking ownership for how you think and feel and not giving it away externally. All right. Let's get to some questions. Can you talk more on cleaning up my thoughts on my body needing less food as I get closer to maintenance? Yeah, you just have to identify, like, this is super easy. You identify the thoughts that you have that think that that's unfair, and then you tell yourself, oh, wait, it's not unfair. It's just how it is. Smaller bodies need a less amount of food. It would be like saying, I give you a good example. You drive a Camry, but you want to give it gas like it's an Escalade. Like, well, it's so unfair. I really want to, like, give it 50 gallons worth of gas, even though I'm just driving a little Camry. It'd be like going to the gas station every day and saying, but I've always filled up an Escalade. Drive a smaller car, smaller tank. That's all you got. Like, you have to just tell yourself that shit. That's it. And just say, like, yeah, of course it's normal. I'm mourning eating more food than I need. That's probably going to keep happening while I'm losing weight every single time. Like, and I would just ask myself, why am I hanging on to the idea that, like, I still have some lingering stuff around, I still want to eat to feel good? All that line of thinking is that eating is on your circumstance line, and your thought is, I wish I could keep this going. Why? Why am I wishing I could eat more? Because if I have to stop here, it means this is over. It's like, get on with life. And I just always tell myself, like, you're eating a lot less than, like, just tell yourself, I'm eating a lot less than I was when I first started. And look at all the positive benefits that have come from that. Just because I'm freaking out doesn't mean that it's going to feel bad. I've started journaling, but I feel like my journal entries don't have any substance to them. I know there's more to write, but my thoughts feel blurry and don't come clear. Write longer, Danielle. Just write longer. So if you journal for 3 minutes, 10. Just keep going. That's the best way to do it. And look for questions. Ask in the Facebook group. What are some questions you guys ask that help you get a little deeper. Tell them, like, this is the stuff that I am journaling on and I want to get deeper. Are there any really good questions that you guys have used or heard the coaches ask you that would help me kind of like excavate a little bit more? In my accountability group, we have been talking about the scale for the past couple of weeks. Some are having major drama about the number on the scale. I've encouraged them to dig into their data and not into themselves. I would trademark it, but it's not original. Some are having drama around doing the necessary work to get ahead of their overeats, get in the basics, and not give all the power to the scale. We also had a conversation around getting to neutral on the F line. What can I tell them to encourage them to get the emphasis off the scale? Listen to this Facebook Live. That's what I would tell them. There's a lot going on in here for you guys. I would pick one topic and really focus on it for a couple of weeks. It sounds like the entire accountability group is all over the board. For the accountability groups, one of the best pieces of advice I have for you guys is to focus on one area that the majority of you are struggling with. And for like 2 weeks, you talk about the relationship with that. You watch all the videos we have on that. And every day, your thought for the day, your question of the day, and your journaling is about that one topic. So it sounds like you guys have, let me just break it down one at a time. Some are having major drama about the number on the scale. So then I would just say like, okay, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to weigh daily. And we're going to practice this thought before we get on. And then we're going to come back to the group. And we're not allowed to have drama. We're only allowed to talk about what we're going to do today to make a change. That's it. That's all we're allowed to do. If you want to do anything else, you have to get off the call. Like, I would just make it that blunt. Like, sometimes we just have to have firm boundaries in our accountability groups. Of like, okay, you know what we're going to do for the next week? We're going to really practice no bitching, no drama, and no pity parties. We're going to have a very boring week in our accountability group. We're going to talk about a lot of facts and a lot about what we're going to do for ourselves. And there won't be like, this is like the no whining week. This is the no, like, I'm going to play in my diaper week. This is the week where I'm not going to like ask everybody to have a kumbaya around my, you know, fears around what to do about the scale and stuff. It's like, no, it will be harder than you all think. And then all week long, you call yourselves out on it. Like, we're going to weigh every day this week, every one of us. And we're going to get on and we're going to tell the thought we choose to have and three things that we're doing today to make a difference. That's it. That's all we get. Your brain, like that group, will want to freak out. Like, what? No, I'm going to need to bitch. And for some of you, it's like you'll have, like, you'll start a Marco Polo and be like, you'll just keep trying to, you'll keep trying to do it. And then everybody in the group polices each other. So, like, somebody gets on there and they slide some, like, bullshit in there. You said, you need to come back. You got to do your video again because you said blah, blah, blah. You need to drop that language. Come back and do it again. Come back and do it again. That's what I have people do all the time. Works like a charm. You know why? It makes people so hyper aware of how shitty they talk and how much is optional and how much is the drama. It takes the fun out of whining. And that's what we need to do. Some are having drama around doing the necessary work to get ahead of their overeats, get in the basics and not give all the power to the scale. This is what I would do for that one. Like, everybody in your group, so this week, y'all are going to weigh in and stuff. Next week, this is what I would do. And this is good for a lot of accountability groups, too. Or, I mean, even private work, to be honest. The nice thing about accountability groups, though, is when you have an accountability partner or a group, is somebody else is going to be able to see your shit way before you'll ever be able to see it. Is I would have the group, let's see, how to get ahead of their overeats, get in the basics and stuff. I would answer this question every single day. Today, I think losing, like, everybody set a goal for the week. Like, say everybody's going to lose a pound or 2 pounds, whatever you want to do. And today, I'm thinking in order to do that, it means it's going to feel like this today. I'm going to have to do, and whatever. So what will come out is bullshit like, I'm going to have to do the four basics. Okay, we all know that, but what does it mean to do the four basics? For me, it means like, well, you know, I'm going to have to really struggle at dinner because I'm used to, you know, eating with my phone and stuff. Listen to the language. Everybody write about it every single day. What you're making it mean to actually do the things. Like, really write about it. Like, 4 or 5 minutes of writing about what it's going to take today to make a plan, to do my four basics. What's that going to look like all day? What am I probably going to be thinking and feeling? Like, really get a hold of that. And what you'll notice, and this is all coming up in next month's self-sabotage course, so y'all all look forward to this kind of work. But what you will notice is that the way that you describe what it's going to take for you to do it is the only reason why you're not doing it. Because if your brain says, well, you know, like I always, you know, it's really hard for me at like dinner. Everybody's talking and stuff. And if I'm going to be paying attention, it means that I can't really connect with everyone and they're going to notice and it's going to feel really awkward and all this other stuff. If your brain is describing that, guess what happens? When it gets time for dinner, number one, you ain't going to want to do any of it. And a lot of you are sitting around going, oh my God, I can't do anything before I want to do it. It's like, well, you're never going to gin up want to with that kind of bullshit story. Number two, your brain will see dinner as a threat. The way to lose weight will now be threatening in your brain. It will be just as bad as saying, we're all going to go somewhere and see and run naked, rubbed in beef fat, and see if a puma or a mountain lion will chase us and eat us. Like, your brain doesn't know the difference between sitting at dinner and having to like suffer disconnection and being judged versus being out in the woods in beef fat with a puma after your ass. It thinks it's the same thing. So if you don't want your brain to be terrified of dinner and to get you to eat so that you don't have to think about all this scary shit, don't set it up to be a shit show ahead of time. I am going to just alert all of you to the news. Waiting until you're hungry is not a traumatic event. It is a normal biological function of the body. The only thing that actually makes it difficult to wait are sentences running through your head about it. And each sentence has a shit-tastic feeling attached to it. If you want weight loss to be easier, you have to be willing to look for sentences you have in your head about the things that you're not wanting to do right now. If you are not willing to do that, keep listening to me on Q&As and showing up for the coaching calls and being like, yeah, man, she makes so much sense. I can't wait for the day for all this to click. You gotta get to writing. Every one of you. Every one of you. Weight loss happens in the journaling. Because that is where you actually learn how to quit feeling bad. Like all this drama and shit. It's made up shit in your head. Quit talking about it and get to figuring out, like, all right, I keep telling myself that waiting to be hungry is going to be really hard. Rather than telling myself it's going to be hard is one way to look at it. It's also could be not as bad as I keep imagining it. I could get to work on changing the story, or I could keep bitching about it in my accountability group and feeling like an asshole most of the time because I'm not getting my goals and staying in frustration and stuff. It's like, guys, stop doing it to yourself. You're doing it to yourself. And it literally only takes one journal entry a day. Pick one thing that you don't like about weight loss. I would not start with the scale. I know a lot of you want to start with the scale. And you go, I'm always working on the scale. Ugh. I'd start with bullshit stories that you have around the things that you do or do not do that affect the number on the scale. Y'all get so hosed up in that number and ignore, like, man, I wonder why it's so hard to stop eating. It just tastes so good. Like, it just tastes so good isn't a thought. You know what else is a thought? It tastes so good is a thought I have, but not an excuse to keep eating. You could tell that story 500 times until 501 is the one where you stop eating. Or you could just keep like rolling around in shit saying it's just so hard to stop. Just so hard to stop. Oh my God. Did you hear this? It's so hard to stop. I'm gonna make a Facebook post about how hard it is to stop. Spend time. It's called equal air time. You gotta find a thought that's not working. Like if I just want it is a thought you keep having. Stop sitting around and telling me I just want it is a problem. We know. You didn't like suddenly like have earth-shattering news that just came across the scroll. I just want it is one part of the story that needs to be told. I just want it is something I'm working through. And I'm going to practice not having it at times. You could start there. You can start anywhere you want. But you can't just keep saying, like, I have this problem. I just keep wanting it. It will that thought's probably never going away. We just get really good at understanding that we can't just stop. Like, y'all, if you only knew throughout all this stuff, like, being home all the time with Logan and Chris. I know I love Chris, but even I, and I worked with him for a year now, I can't go nowhere. Nowhere. He doesn't even take Logan to school in the morning, so I'm going to have my private time. I feel all of you. I'm in the middle of the I just want to's also. The only difference between me and you is when I just want it, I continue the conversation in my head. I don't just go, I just want it. Oh, is this ever going away? That's not the conversation that I continue. It's like, I just want it. And it makes sense. I'm sick and tired. I'm sitting around sick and tired, looking at the same damn people all day, every day. And then at least when I say that, at least I know where to go to work on. I can either be like, yeah, I'm sick and tired of it. And I can either journal about that so I can quit journaling about my overeats and get on to something that's productive. Or I can just be like, of course, yeah, I'm bored as fuck. I want some peace and quiet. That's okay. Like, I can just at least be in a space where I'm just compassionate. I was actually talking to my mother this morning and coaching her ass on some of this. And I rarely coach my mama. But my mama was like, I wish I could have recorded the conversation. She was like arguing for that pain. About the time I'd clean one thing up, she was like, give me more evidence as to why she should be in this story. I was like, mama, here's what I'm gonna tell you today. Like I tell everybody, go to that fucking relationships workshop. I will print you the workbook and mail it to you. I know you ain't got a printer. But you need to do some work for your own sake. But it was like this, like when we are sitting around, I said, if nothing else, I want you to start distinguishing. Like think about, and the feeling I'm feeling right now is I know it's because of my thinking. Where is that? A lot of you are going to be like, I don't really want to change this thinking right now. Nothing seems like a level up. But just knowing that it's your thoughts allows your brain to make the connection that when you're sick and tired of it, you can change it. But you got to hang on to the idea that it's your thinking. Okay, Sierra, I hope that was helpful. I have data that says I eat when I'm lonely. I've noticed that one of the lonely times for me is actually at dinner with my family. How can I increase connection with my family at dinner? You can, you have to ask yourself about that one. It's like, one, you need to, here's like the first thing I would say. I would figure out if I'm feeling lonely and I'm with my family, it's because these thoughts make me feel, it's probably you feel different or left out or something along those lines. Figure out what those thoughts are. Before, a lot of times what you guys notice is I notice I'm having this feeling. I don't know really know why yet. Like I'm feeling disconnected and I'm at dinner, but I don't know why, but I just want to feel connected. You're not going to feel connected until you really understand what is causing the disconnection first and being really present with that. Like, oh, when I think these things about them and stuff, that's why I'm feeling so lonely. And then you need to ask yourself, do you really want to be connected to them? Or do you want to like what is the experience that you're actually wanted? Sometimes we think like when we're lonely that we want connection. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes what we do is we want to be able to be like, this is a little bit different, but a lot of times you guys actually do want to be alone. It's just when you're alone, you have a lot of self-loathing, judgy thoughts. And it's like, it's not that I want to be with people. I want to be able to be alone with myself. So it may even just be like when you're at dinner, you may not want to be connected more to them, more so than, you know, like when you look at the thoughts, you'll be able to identify what's happening. What I want to be is in that moment, I want to be not so judgmental of myself in that dinner. So just kind of, but you have to look for, there could be so many things that go on there. So you just have to look for what's generating loneliness. Like next time you're having dinner, I want you to just listen to yourself and watch yourself, like judging other people, judging yourself, like, what are the things that I'm thinking about when I'm there? That will tell me everything I need to know that I'm going to work on. That is really key. You're going to learn this next month in self-sabotage, but the first thing you have to do is figure out what's going on, and then don't judge yourself for any of it. I was actually all over my mama's ass this morning about, she knows that she's a self-loather, and she mentioned it several times, and I said, yeah, like, you can be frustrated. You can be lonely. You can be all these things. I said, but you're going to get probably 30% emotional relief if the self-loathing doesn't come in. Like for me, when I'm frustrated and when I'm annoyed and stuff, it doesn't feel as bad anymore because I'm willing to be frustrated and annoyed and stuff because I know that I'm the cause of it, or at least because of, like, I'll know I'm the cause because of how I'm thinking about things. I may want someone to change and everything, but it's like I understand that's my want that's causing it. But I don't have the extra layer of like, and I'm such a bad mom for wanting that. And like it's like the shit sandwich gets piled on. I just don't put toppings on my shit sandwich. It's just like, here's what we got, right? I'm a type 2 diabetic as well as my husband. I cook for both of us, but I wonder if realistically I want higher carb foods because it's more likely I will eat them, but it's not healthy for a diabetic diet. Do you have diabetic members who have worked around that? It would be hard for me to find an 80% realistic plan going low carb. So the realistic plan, let me clarify this. I was actually, the accountability groups, some of them had won some calls with me, and I did two of them this week. One of the things about the realistic plan, guys, is it's not a get out of jail free card and I get to eat whatever I want. That's not what the realistic plan is. The realistic plan is where you're going to put foods on there that you will commit to eating now while you examine why you have them on there, if they're going to help you lose weight or not, if they make you feel good or not, and they make you get super aware of where you're emotionally tied to food and what you need to start cleaning up for the long haul. That's what the realistic plan is all about. It's not where it's like, oh boy, I get to eat all I want. Corinne said we could have all the things. That's not the realistic plan. That's an unrealistic plan. Corinne never said you could eat all the things. Corinne said, you need to make a plan of what you're willing to commit to practice commitment. Commitment to yourself, commitment to your goals, commitment to your health, commitment to doing it so you can learn from yourself. That's what the realistic plan is all about. So for some, like if you're a type 2 diabetic, and you know that you cannot have those things because of your health and stuff, the realistic plan for you is not like, well, I'm going to put all these things on there and like jack my health. No, it's like the realistic plan for you is you got to figure out what all works and what doesn't. And if you know that you like physically shouldn't be eating those things, your work around the realistic plan is I'm going to put them on there knowing rather than, well, this is, you know, like what I, this is all I can, like, this is all I can do. It's like, no, I'm putting these on here now because I need to figure out why I'm so emotionally attached to foods that don't help my diabetes. That's realistic. The realistic plan is not to be like, oh boy, we all get pizza. I'm not Oprah. We're not like, oh yeah, we're not over here doing that. The realistic plan is for you to say, like, I really want to lose 2 pounds this week, and this week, realistic for me, is committing to Oreos and pizza and ding-dongs and stuff so that I get to understand that right now I'm planning these foods and getting used to making a commitment to myself, but I really need to understand why these foods, I feel compelled to need to eat them. I need to know the reasoning going on. The realistic plan is to trigger you to make you think about why you're putting these foods on there. Why do I need these more than I need? Like, if I say I want to lose weight and I am planning these things, I need to know why for today I can only commit to these things, but I can't commit to this. It doesn't mean that you can't lose weight eating pizza and all that kind of stuff. It just puts everything into a very conscious examination way. So like in your case, if I realistically want higher carb foods because it's more likely I will eat them, but it's not healthy for a diabetic, then you put them on there and you tell yourself, I need to examine why I'm making a realistic plan that's unhealthy for me. What is it about that? What is the story I have around the carbs that makes that so much more important than my goals and my health? Because I, you know, like can't live without them or whatever. It's like, I mean, that's a story I need to work on. Can I live without them? The reasons why I choose not to live without them is because it would be emotionally hard. So let me go to work on my emotional life around that. Because physically, it would be easier. I have diabetes, so that can't be true. Like, that's where the thought work meets the realistic plan. The realistic plan is not so that you guys get to just eat whatever you want and then get fucked on the scale. It is so that you can put whatever you want on your plan every single day, and it triggers you to examine, why are these foods important to you? Are you practicing, like, you know, for some of you, the realistic plan really spotlights diet mentality, because some of you can't even pull the trigger on putting some of those foods in there. And it really highlights, like, you keep these failure plans going on all the time where there's such a wide gap between who you think you should be and like just what I would consider normal eating. You know, for some of you, like, I did my cereal video the other day and people were like in shock that I eat cereal. And they're like, oh, woo. We were told forever ago you can't have cereal. I'm like, as soon as I get off this call, I'm fixing to go eat me a big fucking bowl of cereal. Like, I'm like hungry. That's what I got on my plan. But like, for me, my realistic plan is I plan cereal. I've been doing this long enough to understand that, you know, cereal's not a bad deal unless I'm eating it at 9 o'clock at night, watching a movie, because I'm tired of Chris and his damn conversation. That's a problem. Cereal, when I'm hungry for breakfast, probably not going to be a weight loss issue. That's what the realistic plan does, guys. That's the stuff you need to be thinking about. Are measurements important to take? I think so. I mean, I think anything that can help you figure out all the different ways your body's changing, I think is amazing. It gives me anxiety. No, it doesn't. Remember, it and they never make us feel anything. Hannah, you need to take ownership. I have anxiety over these numbers because I keep thinking what? Stop blaming numbers for how you feel, all of you. Like if I gave you $1 million wouldn't make you feel good. You'd have thoughts of like, holy fuck, this is the best day ever. And then guess what? The tax bill would hit and you'd be like, holy fuck, that sucks. It's not the number. We have to quit blaming the circumstances for how we feel. We have to quit attributing all of it to how we feel. Otherwise, you essentially lose control over your life. Everything else has to change before I get to feel and do anything I want to do. I'm a January baby and I'm 23 pounds down. Congratulations, Bryn. And I've got 28 to go. Some days when doing the hunger scale, a hunger challenge, drink water, then wait to eat, or hunger scale challenge, I'm not showing any signs of hunger and will only eat one meal. I'm fine with eating only one meal, but I do have small diet rules that about starving myself to lose weight, then regaining it all plus more. Is there a point where I should worry about over restricting or just keep... Like, there's a difference between restricting and waiting for hunger. So over-restrict, you're describing waiting for hunger as over-restriction. Here's what over-restriction is. Every time you feel some, like a hunger signal, I'll wait. This will probably help me lose weight. That would be like restricting. If you feel hunger and you're like, okay, time to eat. That's fine. If you've got 28 pounds to lose, you will probably have some, like, I don't care how much weight you have to lose. 300 pounds, 2 pounds. Let me give you a really good example, y'all. Logan, the other day, I come downstairs. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And Logan eats standing up. He's got his pasta bowl. He's got some chips. And he has ice cream. And I walk in and I said, baby, you hungry? Like that? He said, well, yeah. And I said, why you got everything out at once? And he said, well, I just want to get back to work. And I figured if I had all my food out, it would save me time. Like, okay, I guess that makes sense. Like, I'm just always slay at how that child thinks. And he looked at me and he said, I just wasn't hungry today. He said, I'm just really hungry now. And I said, well, did you eat today? And he's like, no. I was like, okay. I was like, well, just don't forget when you get done, wipe up and put everything away. That was like our conversation. He was just like stating what he was doing. Everything made sense. But he didn't sit there going, Mama, I just need to let you know I overly restricted today. Do you think I'm really going to turn into some kind of eating disorder because I was just enjoying my life? Like he was drawing all day, bouncing his ball. I think he called his grandparents. He was just busy with life and he didn't get hungry. He didn't feel a need to stop his life to eat because it might be time. Guys, you're going to have days like that. If a growing 17-year-old boy can, I'm pretty sure all of us can do the same. There are just times you're busy and not thinking about it. Like if you're busy, guess what? Your stomach is not going to send up hunger signals. If you are like really focused, your brain is making sure you can stay focused. Not always giving you a signal to stop and break your focus to go eat. I would just keep remembering, when you're hungry, eat. And it's okay to eat. I think for a lot of you, you get hosed. And I watch a friend of mine do this. Like, what would life be like for you? This is a good journaling question. What would life be like for you if you just every time you thought you were legit hungry, if you just decided, I'll just eat because I know how to stop eating when I'm satisfied. Do you think we all have a problem with our weight because we're examining when we have a hunger signal? It's like, you know what? I think I actually do have a hunger signal. I'm just going to eat and I'll just stop when I'm satisfied. That's it. And you know what? Every now and then, you might get it wrong. Probably not the end of the world. I'm going to just guess, since we don't really know the hunger scale in a factual way, like we all can take guesses and stuff, that I get it wrong sometimes. It's worked just fine. The problem arises is when you're like, I don't know if I'm hungry. Do you think I should weigh? Maybe I should weigh, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if I'm satisfied, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what if you just made it easy? If you think you are, stop. If you think you aren't, don't. By the end of the week, scale will say something. If you're trending down, great. If you're not, just look back at your notes. See if there's something else you can listen for. I guarantee you, the majority of us, if we literally just went about our lives and we were really more focused on our life and what all we're doing and trying to like enjoy people and trying to enjoy our life and do hobbies, if we spent all of this energy that we have around questioning ourselves and worrying about our weight and all these other things, if we just took that collective energy to putting it into just enjoying our life, we probably could flip the switch a lot easier on going, you know what thing I'm going to do today? I'm going to wait for that hunger. We'll see what happens. That's it. So you also said, I'm fine with only eating one meal, but I do have some old diet rules about starving myself to lose weight, then regain. So you need to tell yourself, when I'm waiting for hunger, that's not starving myself. That's waiting for hunger. That's one thought to clear up. Is there a point where I should worry about over-restricting? No. Listen to the question. When should I start the worry part? That tells a lot about diet mentality, right? When we say like, when do I need to start worrying about myself? How about never? How about we never have to ever worry? What if we can just like, I'm always going to be paying attention. I'm going to keep writing. And I know if I keep writing about what I'm thinking, I won't have any worries. Because I'll always be on to myself. I always know the stuff I'm thinking. That's all I gotta think about. As long as I know what I'm thinking, that shit I can totally change. Do you honestly believe anyone can do this? Yes, I honestly believe that. No, I lied to all of you. Like most of you, yes, but there's a handful of you, it's a no. Yes, I do. Are you kidding me? I want you to be that way. Like how I think about it is so irrelevant. I've always believed, before I even created the No BS program, that we could all lose weight. My belief is not a problem. Problem is when are you guys going to start believing it no matter what? I would love to hear some of your empowering words. I'm feeling like a broken unicorn. You don't need my empowering words. You need to find your broken unicorn thoughts. This is really important, Heather. It doesn't matter what I say. Because it's going to, like, this is the thing. I can get on here and I can preach and I can motivate and I can say, like, all the things. It puts a Band-Aid on a stab wound. If your stab wound is you don't believe that you can do it, then you're going to get a blip of, oh, my God, that makes sense. Until, like, 10 minutes later when I'm back into my own shitter thoughts, it won't matter what I say. At all. That's why you guys have to journal. So right now it's like I'm feeling broken because when I think about my ability to lose weight, I'm thinking these things. Each one gets a model. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to the version of you who loses her weight to get started now. She's sitting there going, hey, if you'll just start on April 25th, we can get here faster. I just need you to not wait until May 25th or the next time we do No BS or the next program Corinne does. I just want you to fucking write those broken thoughts down, come up with a new one, and then 5,000 times a day, remind yourself you can do it. That's what I want you to do. So, next month, when we do self-sabotage, one of the worksheets is called your ability story. So I like the very first thing that we're going to be doing next month, and we have, if you guys will go to pnptribe.com, if you go to the training calendar, just scroll to the bottom of the page, the training calendar link's on there. We already have scheduled all the calls for next month, so you guys can see what we're doing. We are going to have, I'm going to be giving you the content each week for the self-sabotage. And then we're going to do a workshop on the, I think it's on Thursday evenings at 5 o'clock, on the worksheets. So you guys will be working with me. I believe that's what we're doing. Let me make sure. We had this convo yesterday. I've had a bunch of calls. Yeah. It'll be at 5 p.m. on Thursdays, Central Time, throughout the month of May. We are going to be going through each one of the worksheets where we'll do a Zoom call, and you'll do that week's work, and then you'll bring your work, and you'll be able to ask questions, get coaching. I might talk a little bit more about the concept for that week, but I really want it to be interactive. So I want you guys to do the actual worksheets and stuff. That first week is going to be about, there are five key areas when it comes to self-sabotage, like why we don't do the things we say we're going to do and stuff. And believability is a big piece of this, because if you ultimately, if you're not working on believing you can do it, then what happens is that every time something goes wrong, it shakes your inner beliefs. It says, see, this is why we can't do it. This is why you're so broken. It starts collecting all of the stuff that goes on that's a normal part of weight loss, and you use it to agree with the story you tell about you, rather than taking the stuff that normally goes wrong in weight loss as a way to unwind those stories, as a way to unwind what habits you need to redo, as a way to figure out what that next step is. Like, everybody's going to have overeats, and everybody's going to not want to do things, and everybody's going to, like, all of that's the normal part of weight loss. The abnormal part of weight loss is when you use it to reinforce brokenness in you. I mean, I really want you guys to think about this. Abnormal behavior is saying, when things go wrong, I must be a mess. There must be something wrong with me. Here's how we know it's abnormal behavior. For all of you who have children, and if you don't have children, just imagine your fur baby, or you're going to adopt some, a kid or a dog or a cat. They do something wrong. And you're like, oh, so you did that wrong. Let me let you know. Something's really wrong with you. Like, could you, like, make sure you go to your room, and I want you to say these things over and over again. You're never going to get it. You're hosed for the rest of your life. You're probably too old to figure this out. Like, those things. And then come back, and then we'll have a snack and decide what to do next. That's kind of how you guys are using the normal shit that goes on in life. That's not effective. And the only way for it to end is to recognize you were doing that version of it. And you have to go through the process of wanting to do that, stopping yourself, redirecting, and doing something new. And you're going to do that over and over and over and over again. And if you're like me, you will keep doing it even 15 years later. Only if you want to keep your weight off. Only if you want to improve your life. Only if you want to keep growing. Or you can go back to the bellyache part and go back to how it was always before. I'm trying to move past people-pleasing and perfectionism tendencies. Do you have a recommendation on an interim neutral model on this? No. So what I do have, though, for you have to identify. So I would read the book Finish for Perfectionism, number one. People-pleasing is one of those things, is like just being really honest about why you're people-pleasing. Most people are people-pleasing in order to feel something. It's like, it is not about making sure that person's happy. A lot of you will say, like, well, I just want to keep them happy. It's like, okay, ask yourself why you want them so happy. If they're happy or they're satisfied or whatever, I make that mean that they're no longer mad at me, or that I will get to feel what, or like, what is that? Whatever that is what you're truly seeking. And a lot of you can do that without having to people please. And also, I've got calls about this, Samantha. Y'all just look up calls on people pleasing. We've got a ton of them. ultimately with people pleasing, I tell people, we talked about this in the relationships workshop. So you might as well, if you're a people pleaser, I would highly recommend you go through the relationships workshop and you do the workbook on one person you typically people please, do all the work around that. But one of the things I tell people is that with people pleasing is if you are saying yes to something, let's say that you're going to like try to please someone, don't please them unless you would love for them to read your mind while you do it. What's going on in your thought bubble when you're pleasing? I think it would be fascinating if we could go through an entire day. You know that movie, The Purge, where like people get killed and shit? I've never seen it, but I hear about it. I would like to have a day where we just have to all have a thought bubble above our head. So everywhere you go, somebody reads your mind and you get to read other people's mind to see what's actually going on. It would be the most fascinating day ever. All right, let's do a couple more. Oh my God, y'all, there's like 40 questions here. Some of you are going to have to ask this in the Facebook group, okay? Can you help me to do a TDL on wanting to join an accountability group but being too nervous about it? Yeah, so you're going to write literally for 5 minutes on the reasons why I'm nervous about an accountability group are, and like list 15, like go 1 through 15, and I want you to come up, just write a reason next to every single one. Then I want you to go through it and say like, all of this stuff that I'm thinking is just creating nervousness. Is this worth me not having accountability? Is this me? Is like all of this worth? Like, and here, do this. Your 15 reasons. This is why I'm nervous. Then I want you to say, I think an accountability group will help me with what? The 15 things that you think will be the benefit of having an accountability group. And then I want you to take a look at it. And then I want you to ask yourself, here's the benefits. Is this nervousness over here? Is this the price I'm paying to not have it? Am I willing to think these things? Am I willing to learn that some of this might not be true? Am I willing to challenge all of this in order to have what I think an accountability group will do for me? And see if that will help you. Are you able to stick to your plus two on special days like your birthday? Or do you notice overeats those days especially? I'm 4 months on the four basics and still working through the no BS modules. I'm 47 pounds down. My birthday is coming up and just trying to figure out a realistic plan would be that won't have me pissed off at myself with regret the next day. Okay, so you could eat your fucking face off, or you could eat to a two and pissed off and regret, or proud, or like that was my birthday, whatever, is the option the next day. So like, let's say it's my birthday. I typically don't eat my face off on my birthday, but I drink my weight. Let's just be really honest. Majority of the time, my birthday celebration is in Vegas by a pool, and I like to drink, and I like everybody to know it's my birthday, and we like everybody to party like it's my birthday. So I don't have regret or anything the next day. I just plan it. It's okay with me. I have also had birthdays that I've not drank or ate, and I've not woke up the next day extra proud of myself or feeling like a champion or regretful or anything. I just decide shit, and I like my reason. Sometimes I want to drink. Sometimes like let's say, let's pretend we all go to Diablo's, where the best nachos in the world are, in all of America. We're all at the Diablo's, and we got the pork nachos. And it's my birthday. If I wanted to eat past my two, I would just plan to. And I would not have regret the next day. But I would be right back on plan. You know why I wouldn't have regret? Because I would not think that planning something is a reason for worry. It's just a plan. Guys, I don't always eat to my plus two. Even when I was losing weight, I didn't always eat to my plus two. It's not about the plus two as much as it's the mindset behind it. I was always way more focused on the mindset that drove my behaviors than I was on the actual behaviors. So like, if I like I always knew when, like, my weight problem, like, wasn't cereal. Like, it goes back to breakfast. My weight issues were never about a bowl of cereal for breakfast and cereal being like a, you know, just a fattener and like all the carbs and all this. That was like, my problem was not that. My problem was eating cereal, ice cream, and all the carbs to make myself feel better, to get away from the world, to stop the verbal self-loathing in my head, to drown it out with food. That's where my problem was. And when I got rid of my self-loathing, when I worked, not I got rid of it, but when I worked on that, and when I started creating a life that I loved and stuff, I started realizing that I could eat carbs and be fine. Because I was only eating them when I planned them and I ate them in control. I wasn't eating them to escape all the ways that I felt so out of control. It is the same thing with like your plus two and stuff. The majority of the time, I don't want to eat more than I need. It feels like shit. And I know that when I'm eating more than I need, it's probably for an emotional reason. But sometimes, like, I'm going to tell you, like, if my granny came down, if the heavens parted right now, and granny walked in here and had fried chicken livers, mashed potatoes, green beans, deviled eggs, and homemade strawberry cake, I'd probably eat past my two. And I would not have shame and regret. Because my problem is not going to be really enjoying something I don't get very often. My problem is if I need all that food all the time and at every event because I'm so worried about what other people think of me. Because I can't have fun without it. Now, that is something to look at. But just saying, like, it's my fucking birthday. I want to eat cake. I'm going for it. I might even have nachos with it and a couple of glasses of wine. And you know what I'm going to be doing on the next day? Celebrating that it's not a problem for me to get right back on plan. That's it. Take the drama out. All right, last thing. I'm lost with my hectic lifestyle right now. Where should I restart? I'd go to pnptribe.com. You see where it says weight loss quick start? I'd start right there. Very first button. I'd hit the weight loss quick start. And I'd quit saying I have a hectic life right now. I'm going to guarantee you it feels like shit, Linda. Is it Linda? Yeah. You think you're just telling me what's happening. I don't give a shit. You know what I care about? When Linda sits around thinking she's got a hectic life, Linda feels frazzled and confused and doesn't know what to do next. That's not helping Linda. Linda's not helping Linda. Linda needs to say, I'm going to restart and ask a question where. Linda doesn't need to justify, let me tell you the shit show of my life. Because I guarantee you, you're rolling that hectic bullshit in your head all day, every day, and it's not helping you. It's jacking up all your cortisol stuff. You have to do a dead stop and say, like, I got these things to do, and I no longer use the word hectic to describe it. I'm just going to say, I'm going here. I'm going to be working 14 hours. I got on to Carmen the other day. Like, if you're going to work 14 hours, then say I'm going to work 14 hours. Don't say I'm having to work 14 hours a day and it's so overwhelming. That's crap. Just say, I'm working 14 hours today. It might feel overwhelming because I keep thinking I shouldn't have to do that. That's a way, but like, I got to work 14 hours today, 7 days a week. I'm Linda. Sometimes it feels hectic because I think it's too much, but I know I'm going to show up tomorrow and punch the clock one more time. So I'm a guessing. I don't need to think it's that hectic. I need to just think about, and I'm probably going to go back tomorrow for more. Like, if you guys are going to show up for these lives, show up in a way that allows you to feel a little bit better rather than wearing yourself out over it. Adrian's like, I get to work 14 hours and I get to get paid. And I don't think we have to think about, like, there are people who are not getting work and there's not all this. Like, you don't have to think amazing things, but you don't have to think that. It's like, right now I'm just thinking my life is hectic. It's also pretty dependable that I'm going to have to work a 14-hour day. It won't surprise me tomorrow. It was like this is Carmen. Like, it was really shocking that first few days when I went from 8 hours to 14. You know, we're kind of like 6 weeks in. It's not so hectic anymore. A lot of us are still like surging on, like, and it's all so hectic and it's all so this. And it's like, you probably have way more routines going on now. You're just used to thinking that it's all out of routine because you're thinking about what you wanted from the past and what you want in the future versus what's happening right now. I had to stop thinking about how hectic things were because we changed everything. That's the struggle, hectic work days. I get it. Everything that I'm such a planner. I had planned like for 3 months of stuff and we threw everything away. Everything that I had already done out the window. And I could be sitting around every day thinking, I'm having to rewrite all this. Remember, I had all this already done. It's so unfair, blah, blah, blah. Or if I'm going to do it, I'm just going to be like, and this is what I'm doing today. It's a lot less energy. She's like, I work anyway from 14 to 16 hours every day and on call 24 hours a day. Yeah, it's like, if you're already doing it, like, if you're already doing it, notice how when you suddenly it's become hectic rather than, oh yeah, I forgot. I've always been on call. Whatever it is, right? I'm on call a lot. Planning helps. Yeah, it's like, if you're on call, guess what you can do? You have plan Bs. If they call me in, I'll be doing this. If they don't, I'll be doing this. I keep a list of stuff like right now because we're like redoing a lot of stuff. I keep a little bucket list of stuff that I can do super fast. So if I have time open up at all, this is the stuff I'll do. Like, I just don't get into the whole idea of victimizing myself. I don't like to victimize myself. I don't think being a victim is sexy, so I don't do it. It's not sexy for me. And so I'm always looking for ways that I'm doing that stuff to myself. And I always want to be the one responsible for it. Because if I'm it always goes back to, if I'm the problem, I'm the solution. Yeah, I know. Today was camp day. We would have been at camp. Oh my gosh, y'all. So this morning when I went for my walk, I listened to the camp songs. I will tell you, it's been like, I've been really cranky and I've not felt 100%, but I've been really cranky. And I know it's because like I wanted camp to happen and it didn't happen. And we're doing a lot of work on, DSB is virtual now. And I've been watching the stuff that we're putting together for those girls. And there's like, you just have to have compassion. There's a piece of you that mourns the parts you wish were. And I, like, my mentor sent, I'll close out with this. My mentor sent a really good email out where she said, I think there's an idea that like we hang on to is like, well, we should have been doing this or it should have been this way. And that is a really painful thought because it was never going to happen. It just wasn't. And thinking it was is crazy. And the reason why we know it was never going to happen is because it didn't. And it's just like knowing, like, there's a part of me that wishes it was here, but there's also a part of me that really understands that that we get to enjoy today. We get to make the most of today. Like when I'm in understanding and compassion for where my brain is, and when I am really focused on how I can make the most of the day, I cut out sitting around thinking all day long, I should have been at camp, I should have been doing this, blah, 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 blah. Like I stop a lot of that stuff. It was very helpful. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. We went long today. I appreciate y'all letting me go long. Y'all have a good one. I will see everybody tomorrow at noon Central Time for coaching over on the Zoom. And we're just doing open coaching. So if you want to raise your hand and get coached by me, you can do that. I'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.